Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Hallelujah. You learn how to be what you are, what you were born to be. No matter what you're dealing with today, how bad it may seem, how long it's been that way, there is a way out. There is a way through. There is victory. And it's through God's help. He requires something of us, though, and that's faith. It's not unreasonable to trust someone who has never lied to you and never let you down. And so it's not a mechanical thing. It's not a mental knowledge thing. It's a relationship thing, person to person, trusting Him and what He says. And His words, everything that you see in this earth, everything that you see in the solar system, the universe, was created with words. Words. Faith-filled, light-filled, life-filled words. The scripture says, God spoke and it was done. Quite something. Amen. Somebody says, well, I just don't believe that. You can't prove it didn't happen. You weren't there. That's right? Amen. And you can't prove what did happen opposite to that. You can't. And God has purposely set it up this way so you can doubt if you want to. God, the Creator, imagine now that the power to do what He has done, He could put His face in the sky today and go, hey, I'm God. And I mean, there wouldn't be a doubter on the planet. Amen. Right? Amen. Somebody says, why don't He do that? He didn't want to. He didn't want to. He leaves room for choice. He leaves room for faith. And if you already see it and understand it all, there's not room for faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That means not yet. Not yet. And the evidence of things not seen. If it's already happened, you're not having faith about it. If you already see it and understand it, it's not faith. It's when you don't understand. It's when it hasn't happened yet. It's when you can't see it. But you trust the person who said it. Yes. Enough. Yes. To just go, well, it's true. Yes. If they said it, amen. It's true. Yes. If He said it, it will come to pass. Amen. Just watch and see. Amen. Right? Yes. So anybody beside me in here want to say, I trust God.
I trust God.
Hallelujah. Lord, I trust You. Lift up your hand and just say, Lord, I trust You.
I trust in You
and in all of Your words. Faithful
and true
are You.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we do believe this and we do commit to this. And we ask You for the utterance and anointing and grace for today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. So we have this wonderful book called the Bible, which is actually 66 books and many different human vessels, but one author, the Holy Spirit. And we've been looking at these words because, like we said, everything He said is true and right and will come to pass, has come to pass, will come to pass. And our faith to live down here victoriously is based on hearing and believing and acting on what He said. We, in this life, we need material things. It's not the only thing. I mean, you know, our relationship with Him is the number one thing. And then our relationship with other people. Material things is not the main thing. But you do need some things in this life. And to say you don't and to act like it's not important is to be dishonest or confused. You know, when we got up this morning, we had to put something on. Is that right?
Yes.
We need to eat something.
That's right.
If I don't eat something, my stomach could growl and pick it up on the microphone. And that interferes with it. Right? And of course, if you don't eat, if you just quit eating, you won't live long. We needed a way to get here.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We got a nice vehicle I enjoy. We needed a place to sleep last night.
Yes.
We got a good bed. I like that.
Yes.
I enjoy a good bed. Right?
Yes.
Climate control. I really enjoy that.
Yes.
Right? The list goes on. And we are, you know, we're a ministry and we're churches. And you're watching us right now because somebody gave.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To pay for these cameras. To build this studio. The list goes on and on and on. To buy this building. Pay for this building, this property, to maintain it, to keep the grass cut. I mean, keep the lights on. Money, 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 money.
Yes.
Now, we don't have to beg for money. We don't have to lust and long after money. God wants us to have it.
Yes.
We don't have to try to talk him into it. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
But like everything else in life, we're supposed to live by faith. We're supposed to walk by faith. Faith in God that he will provide for us all the money, all the things that we need. How you get that faith? You know, you're not just born with it. It doesn't just drop on you out of the air. How can I rest day in, day out? I don't lose sleep. I'm Phyllis and my wife, we're heads over this ministry. We have multiple acres and buildings and staff and vehicles. And it takes, thousands and thousands of dollars a day just to keep the lights on and keep everything going. If you got to thinking about that and thinking, well, man, what if this and what if that? You know, it could interrupt your rest. I lose no sleep at all. I'm not concerned about it. Why? My job is to hear from him and do what he tells me to do.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
And he is the faithful God who keeps and protects and guides and provides.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I have the things that I'm sharing with you, I have been privileged to hear myself in years past and grow in it and keep feeding on it. And so over a period of time now, I have become completely convinced that abundant provision is always God's will for me.
Yes.
And mine and everybody that's with me. And I'm convinced as long as I'll endeavor to obey him and follow him, we will not do without.
Yes.
We will always have.
Yes.
We've had project after project, some of them costing millions of dollars, and it all came in.
Yes.
It all came in. How did that happen? Not because I'm so smart. It's because God is our provider.
Amen.
Is he your provider?
Yes.
He's no respecter of persons. He wants you to have everything you need. In fact, he's already prepared it. He's already set it up on the path you're supposed to travel. He's already pre-positioned provision.
Yes.
Can you see that?
Yes.
At the places you're supposed to be and go. Now, if you ignore him and rebel and you get off on the wrong exit and you're going to go your own way, well, then you're going to go through places you shouldn't even be going through.
Amen.
You're going to go through Painville,
yes.
Huh? Lackville, right?
Yes.
And you can get mad at God, but it's not his fault. You should be on another road. But on the road that he has prepared for you, the path of the just gets brighter and brighter and better and gooder and gooder.
Yes.
And you encounter the pre-positioned provision.
Yes.
God, before you were ever born, he knew what he was going to call you to do.
Amen.
And be, and he knew where he wanted you to be, what he wanted you to be doing, and he already has this thing mapped out, planned out, provided for, from beginning to end.
Yes.
All you got to do is get up every morning and say, yes, Lord.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
That's all you got to do. Yes. All you got to do. Every time he says something to you, come on, help me out.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Whatever he says do, wherever he says go, whatever he says be involved in.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Come on, everybody said out loud. Yes.
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 Yes,
yes, Lord.
Yes.
To your will and
to your ways.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's your heart and that's your words. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And so what we saw in looking at these reasons one after another, giving you 30 biblical reasons why we're sure, is God gave them the promised land. And it was a land, if you the way he described it, the pleasant land. It was the land that flowed with milk and honey. It was the land wherein you will not lack anything. No scarcity, no lack. And it was the good land where you will have good cities, good houses, full of all goods, good things, good vineyards, orchards, good wells, good water. I mean, the list goes on and on. God used to care about such things to the point he personally selected it and provided it and secured it and gave it to them. Has he changed?
No.
Is he a respecter of persons?
No.
Then he still cares about a good place to live, a good way to get around and travel, something good to wear, something good to eat. He still cares about these things. He does not want you to worship these things.
Amen.
He does not want them to be an idol to you. You can think too much about your house.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
You can spend too much time messing with it, cleaning it, organizing it. You can spend too much time shopping,
yes,
messing with clothes,
yes,
right?
Yes.
You need to do some, but you can do too much. You can go too far. You can spend too much time messing with a car,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Or a truck or a motorcycle or a boat, you know. You shouldn't have boat on the brain.
Right.
If you can have a boat, use it, enjoy it, put it up, and forget about it and obey God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Well, then you could have a boat.
Yes.
God could give you a boat.
Yes.
But if he gives you a boat and all you want to do is mess with your boat, and now you ain't got time to go to church, you ain't got time to serve on a team, you ain't got time. Well, God hurts you by giving you a boat.
That's right.
So that's why so many times he couldn't give the person a boat. So they wind up adding it to themselves through a bunch of debt or through a bunch of other things, so that not only is it an obsession, but it's also a burden. They're having a lot of trouble even keeping it and paying for it. When the Lord adds something to you, it's not a burden.
Amen.
It's a blessing.
Amen.
And there's no sorrow. With it, the blessing of the Lord just enriches you. It just makes you more and rich and better. So that's when we talked before. People misquote the scripture and say, well, money is the root of all evil. It is not. It is not. You need some money. It's not wrong to want some money. That's not what the scripture said. The love of the money, that's the root of all kinds of bad and all kinds of wrong things. And the scripture says more than one place in the New Testament that covetousness is idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. What does that mean? Well, idolatry was forbidden back in the Ten Commandments. And that is having a false god, a statue. We are forbidden to have pictures that we kneel in front of. Are y'all, come on, y'all listening to me?
Yes.
I know this goes contrary to some whole denominations and groups, but read your scriptures, brother. The Lord forbade it. You are not supposed to pray looking at a picture. You're not supposed to pray in front of a statue.
Amen.
Come on, are y'all with me now?
Yes.
The Lord forbade it. Why? Because he said when he came down on the mount and he revealed himself and he gave the Ten Commandments, he said, you didn't see any image. He purposely did it that way. He didn't want you doing that. And so covetousness is idolatry. It's making too much of a thing. Making too much. And sometimes you'll hear people say, well, we got to teach these young people the value of a dollar. I'll tell you the value of hardly anything. And no, you got to watch about that kind of thinking because you're teaching them covetousness. Mm-hmm. And to think too much of money and focus too much on money. You need some money, but it should be a tool, not a God. Amen. Right? Amen. It's something that serves you, not something you serve. You don't, you know, you don't get up and spend all your time and waking moments pursuing the almighty dollar. Mm-mm. You work doing what the Lord has you to do, and you look at your income a whole lot as seed.
Yes. Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
Between your tithes and your offerings, and then you're looking to God for multiplying your seed. Yeah. And harvest, which makes what you can have and do not limited to your job, but unlimited.
Yes.
Based on the multiplication of your seed sown and the harvest. So thank God we don't have to struggle. We don't have to wonder, well, will he help me pay my utility bill? Go with me to Romans, the 8th chapter, please. Is there a reason to talk about these things?
Yes.
You know, a lot of church-going people do not believe like what we're talking right now. But are we giving scriptures?
Yes.
Did I write the scriptures?
No.
Okay. Romans 8 and verse 31. It says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Or like one writer said, what difference does it make? Who's against you? If God's on your side? You know, if you're picking members for a team, you're going to play a game, right? And you say, God, I pick God right for my team. Who's going to win? Huh? Your team, right? It don't matter who's on the other team. Somebody, yeah, but we got the all-stars. Yeah, but I got God. So, your team will win with God on your side.
Hmm?
Is he on your side?
Yes.
You know, the psalmist said that. He said that God is on my side. I won't fear what men can do because God is on my side. Oh, you need to believe that. You need to be convinced of that and know that. He said, and if God is for us, who can be or who can successfully be against us? And then he goes on to say, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also what?
Freely
give us all things. Now you'll hear people try to tell us that God wants us to live a minimalist life, that he doesn't like anything luxurious, he doesn't like anything expensive. He likes to see you live a Spartan, minimalist life. No need in getting that beautiful set of china. You know, you only need one plate and one fork. A tin cup is fine. Now, the thing about most people that talk such stuff, they do not live this way, right? You go to their house and look. And a lot of times what they do is they hide stuff. They have stuff, but they hide it. And they won't tell. Well, that's hypocrisy. And that's wrong. But no, who made the fine stuff? Who made gold, silver, platinum? Who made diamonds, right? Who made beautiful trees and beautiful wood and the things that beautiful fabrics are made of? Who gave man the wisdom and understanding to make an amazing vehicle or car or house or all these things? No. Are all the nice things just for the ungodly?
No.
just for those that discount God's existence? No, no. Instead of that, this verse says the opposite. What's it saying? Read it again. He that spared not, now notice the language here, spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. If there was ever anything that God would have said, that's too much, it would have been his son.
Yes.
Come on, are y'all with me?
Yes.
That would have been it. He would have said, now that's asking for too much. That's too expensive. That's too high. That's too great. That's too much. And yet, he gave him.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. Yes. Which tells you how much he values you. The next time the devil tries to tell you you're not worth much, you ask him why the Creator paid the highest price that's ever been paid for anything to get you.
Amen.
Huh? That means you are not cheap junk.
Right.
Amen.
Hmm?
God is smart.
Yes.
He does not pay $1 billion for a $5 item.
That's right.
He's smart.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
He's not fooled. He's not dumb. So regardless of how you feel about yourself or how you have seen yourself, because the devil, from the time you come into this earth, he is continually trying to discredit you, demean you, debase you, try to get you to see yourself as junk, as nothing, as a waste of breath and space. He's a liar.
Yes.
He hates human beings.
Yes.
One of the reasons why we are what he will never be. He was a created being, and now he's fallen from that. He wanted to be like God, and we are the sons of God.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
We don't look exactly like it right now, but we are. And in time to come, we'll look fully like it too and sound fully like it. But if God was ever going to withhold anything from us, it would have been the Master. And he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Read the rest of it. Read it out loud. How shall he not with him also, what?
Freely
give us
all
what?
All things.
How much does that include?
All.
What's that? So people say, well, I just don't know. You know, I'd like to have that new car, but... you know, I don't know. Maybe God don't want me to have it. I don't. Listen, God gave you Jesus, right?
Yes.
What's a car compared to him? If he'll give you Jesus, he'll give you anything.
Yes.
And in fact, when he gave you Jesus, he gave you everything. Oh, come on. Are y'all with me? Y'all understand what I'm saying? What's a house? What's some clothes? What's some jewelry? What's a vacation? What's this or that? No. He has shown you what he wants for you because he gave you eternal life. And he gave the most precious thing to him, the Master. And the Master gave himself. And so it is it's insulting to look on the cross where Jesus is hanging and suffering and paying the price and say, Jesus, do you want me saved? I just don't know if you really want me saved or not. What's he doing?
Right.
Are you looking? Right?
Yeah.
When he's tied to the scourging post and the stripes are being laid on him and he's taking the cause and source of our pains and infirmities and the stripes for our healing. And you look at him and say, I just don't know if God wants me healed or not. I just feel like maybe he'd... What's he doing? What's he paying for? Oh, come on, can you see this?
Yeah, yeah.
It's either ignorance or it's willingly being ignorant. It's insulting when you see and understand to say, well, Lord, I just don't know. You know, I know that you gave the most precious thing to you, to Jesus, but I don't know if you'll help me pay my electric bill. Don't be stupid.
Right.
Let's be clear. Don't be like that. Read it again. If he didn't spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also, just like we saw with his first covenant people, how shall he not with him also give you good houses, full of all good things. Come on, can you see this?
Yes.
Goodly vineyards and orchards and wells. And I mean, this goes. He never changes. And the way we were headed on our own without Jesus, He could not do these things for us. We did not qualify. The wages of sin, the pay for sin, is not goods and blessing. It's death. And God didn't want us to have that. We couldn't fix ourselves. We couldn't save ourselves. So, He gave the most precious thing. He gave the Master. He gave the Messiah. And He gave Him completely. Spirit, soul, blood, body for us. And He bought us. And if He'll give you Jesus, He will give you anything. Somebody say anything, anything, all things. Go to 1 Timothy, if you would. 1 Timothy and the 6th chapter. It goes right along with this. 1 Timothy 6. He said in verse 17, 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world that they get rid of them old riches because you can't serve God with it. No, he didn't say that. Just don't be snooty. Huh? Don't be thinking you're all that because you got a little money. Don't be high-minded and don't trust in your money because it cannot fix everything. It cannot save you. But trust in the living God who does what? Trust in the living God who wants you to live a minimalist life and not have any. No, who gives you richly all things to enjoy. And to what end? So that you can do good. You can be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to share. Hallelujah.
Yes.
That's why. No, nobody said you had to spend it all on yourself. Gives us richly all things to
enjoy.
He will do things for you that you don't need. They're not necessary for life. You just enjoy it and talk about and give praise to how good God is. And when people see it, they'll say, how did that happen? How did you get that? And you can tell them about your good God who gives you richly all good things. And it may be a shock and surprise to them, but He'll do it for them too.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, our time's up again today. Said out loud, I have faith.
I have faith
in the goodness of my God
for everyone.
Hallelujah. Come back next time and we'll see more good things about our good God here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390